Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is not how I prefer to view you, Andrea.
What are you talking about?
I've got you on speaker view. I prefer a gallery where we're both equal.
Got
instead
it.
Of you being my overlord.
Got it. Like, I actually like prefer looking at you when I've had a couple alcoholic beverages. It's the only way I can handle your fucking power. It's a lot. It's a lot.
No, we're talking pure tech, baby. That's how I want to.
Whatever. Don't give me a break. I've been looking at your mug on a little screen for so long week.
Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't get to tell you, and maybe I'll tell you here, like on the podcast, we've officially been invited on Mondays weekly, if we want to kind of have an industry night at the new Stowaway in downtown LA, where Julian would like very much for us to entertain bartenders and service industry people, sort of with like a version of our show live, which would stream also, which is super fun. I know.
So, I mean, look, we're releasing things on Monday. We're releasing a little thing called add-ons on Monday, you guys. And here's the deal. By the way, hi, welcome to Sidework Podcast.
Do it. We're getting our business out of the way live.
Podcast. Before we get into it, this is Sidework Podcast. I'm Andrea. That's Brooke. Let's.
I can speak for myself. I'm Brooke. You're not the boss of me.
Nobody's saying anything.
I know.
Jesus Christ.
I know. Listen, it's gloomy out today. I feel insecure.
All right. Don't take it out on me. I've been your goddamn partner on this ride for 3 years.
I know.
I've got your back. So anyway, we do a little show on Mondays called add-ons. And look, are you guys listening to add-ons? You know, we really like it. But look, if we start doing something like the Stowaway, that's going to be a whole nother like run of stream of content on a Monday, which will be different and fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's our hope. That might start in June. We'll figure out what feels good, feels right, have a few guests, maybe have even like a stand-up comic or something.
Wow.
But we would be partnering with there's a very deep bartender network who the bar manager there at this new place is like, oh, I'd be so stoked. I'd love to collaborate and, you know, get them like a bunch of my peers and coworkers to come in on Mondays on their day off and like throw down. And then after us, an organ player would come on. I'm very much into this.
Super fun.
We should hire someone to play a live calliope so they could do our actual theme song.
Our free theme song. That'd be funny.
Can we ask if this, I know that our theme song haunts my brain when I hear it. I'm like, wow, that was a choice, huh? I love it. Love it.
I love it too. PTSD. I mean, I think we're just like, it's a circus out there. We tried to kind of like veer toward it. Yeah.
Right. Like our inspiration was Send in the Clowns, you know, when people are waiting for the doors to open for brunch. Mm-hmm. We used to blast Send in the Clowns.
Really? They couldn't hear it. Like whose rendition?
Fuck. This was Chicago at Sal Marie, but for us internally, because they couldn't hear it, but before we would open the door, but we could see everyone gathered outside on the sidewalk.
Right.
We would play Send in the Clowns.
No, but I mean, was it like Barbara Streisand's like cover of it? Was it
telling you, I don't remember. It was Cafe Sal Marie.
Got it.
Forever
got it.
Ago. Yep.
Gotcha.
Sorry, baby. That was like 20 years ago.
No,
dude.
It's all right. It's a Sondheim song. Everybody knows that from a little night music. Everybody knows where the song originates from, right? I'm not the only one. I'm just saying it's been covered time and time again by all sorts of crooners. So I don't know. This is before the days when you could just be like, hey, Spotify, show me every single goddamn rendition of that. So that's hilarious, though. And isn't it grand? Isn't it great? I know I just want to sing the whole song. But anyway, let's fucking move on and just jump into some headlines, huh? because there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, my God. This one crushed my soul when
Brian who is so great about sending us headlines because he definitely reads way more news than I do and is always great to like send us fun little nuggets. But this one from BuzzFeed News is Grubhub sent out this promotion this past week in New York City on Tuesday for campaigning an offer for a free lunch, right? So it's a $15 promotional valid code that they only made valid for 3 hours.
Yeah, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And they mm-hmm. gave everyone a 24-hour heads up. They let people who use, here's the thing, they let people who use Grubhub know,
right,
but not restaurants.
Correct, correct. So this sent basically Grubhub and all the restaurants in New York City in the area into a fucking frenzy. And at one point they were receiving 6,000 orders a minute for its promo. I mean, and every single restaurant went fucking crazy. So there's a worker named Lily in charge of packing orders at a Mexican restaurant in Harlem, and she said that since the restaurant's delivery driver couldn't keep up with the demand, that she ordered an Uber and had to hand deliver 11 orders herself.
So that sounds like a money making tactic. No, that's the fucking opposite of making money, is when you have to go hire your own Uber to drop off fucking Grubhub's yeah. food. This yeah. is okay. So before we even unpack it further, I mean, obviously, you know, at peak points when you're using Seamless, Grubhub, DoorDash, whatever, pick your poison, Saturday nights, baby, if you go to try and order at 8 p.m. when yeah. everyone else is on the prowl, they turn their restaurant off. They say yes. our next no hours more. Are tomorrow, but they usually are pausing for 30-minute increments to make sure they can appropriately handle the influx of orders and to not have any dissatisfied, mm-hmm. misfired mm-hmm. horror stories, right? So like you can check back in another half hour and maybe they'll open up for a few more hours again. But this is responsible Grubhub usage because you have no control over no. the situation. So to have no heads up, to not be staffed, to and not it's be prepped.
A Tuesday lunch. Like no one's warning. Fucking, like Tuesday's like notoriously like the slowest day of the week now, for restaurants.
And here's the thing, like many of you who like live in the burbs, live in smaller states and cities. In New York City, lunch is the meal that makes, like nobody eats lunch at home. New York City is meant for eating lunch at a restaurant or a street cart, whatever you're doing, like it's a blood sport. I have like jokes in my stand-up about how intense like competing to get lunches in New York, but it's what everyone does. You're out of your home, you're working in the city, and you pretty much carry out 5 days a week. You pick mm-hmm. up, you carry out, you go hit up, you know, yeah, a little
this is
cart.
Why there's so, like hot dogs and slices of pizzas and like delis everywhere and like, yeah.
But, and then you imagine the number of New Yorkers and the number of people who are also like, who couldn't use a free lunch right now? Fine, I get that. But this just reeks of corporate losers who've never worked in a restaurant coming yeah. up with this stupid fucking promo that basically caused major blowback on them as a company because, I mean, restaurants just had to like turn off their yeah. systems.
Oh, no, they no. Yeah, just there's a small Brooklyn cafe that received like 200 orders in the first 5 minutes that the promo began. And this guy was like, I'm the only one working today.
It like, must I mean- have felt like, can you imagine queuing up, like citywide diarrhea, like literally being on the end of that printer when all of a sudden it won't stop. And this is right. happening simultaneously in like every place that's open for lunch in New York City.
Right. And here's the thing, like we talk about waitmares a lot, but I guarantee you there's line cooks out there that like their version of a waitmare is like tickets not stopping and backing up and backing up and backing up. And that is what this is. This is like a nonstop fucking shit show that I can't even like begin to wrap my brain around. It's so much. There's a guy, like, of course, people were calling in to complain, you know, about everything. And they talked to this one dude who was like 3,600 placed in line to talk to customer service.
Yes, he like, was 3,600. They're like, you are 3,600 in line for you know, like, should we call you back in 2 years?
Well, and the main play of this, obviously, is to get people's information. Like, they want your fucking email, and they want your fucking phone number, and they want to send you promotions, and, like, they want your fucking information. So there's no such thing as a free lunch when it comes to this. And most of these restaurants are just like, I didn't even fucking know this was happening. Like, a food hall in Brooklyn, like, everybody there was like, did you know this was happening? Did you know this was happening? The answer is no. The ripple effect.
The ripple effect
is insane to me.
So basically, right, like, it is misfired on every end possible. So you've either got people who couldn't even put their order in. They were, like, say, really excited for this free lunch. So there were customers saying, like, I was queued up with, like, a reminder in my phone, like it was, like, tickets being released for a concert.
Right.
You know, but then the systems crashed and shut down. So there were people who couldn't even get an order through. So they're pissed off. Then there were restaurants who got slammed with orders, but then it all got messed up on Grubhub's end. So then you had restaurants going, we have 47 filled orders that haven't been picked up, just right, sitting on our fucking counter.
Waste. At the same time, because then people are like, I don't even fucking want it anymore. I love that Grubhub sent all 5 boroughs into the weeds. Like, yep, it sent the entirety of the whole city was just completely weeded because Grubhub, they're fucking dumbasses. This is insane.
Truly, this was the fire fest of takeout.
There's actually even a meal that pops up. And I'm like, is this from Fire Fest or is this like what actually somebody was delivered? Because there's a lot of tweets going out, obviously. It's like what the free lunch Grubhub code actually gets you. And there's a photo of what looks like cheese and bread and little salad. I'm like, wait, is this from Fire Fest or is this like what actually somebody was delivered? I think
that's from Fire Fest.
I think it's also from Fire Fest.
Documentary clearly.
That's the joke. Oh boy, oh boy. But yeah, learn a fucking lesson, Grubhub. Never again. Fuck off. Oh,
it's
my
so
God.
Intense. Okay.
And the poor delivery drivers. We haven't even like talked about their poor. Yeah, it's so much.
They work so hard as is. Those are the toughest, most skilled delivery drivers. They're all out there, like I said, on their rusty mountain bikes that, for the love of God, like the gear, you hear like the gears just cranking. They haven't put oils on their chains because their bikes stay locked out in the rain and snow all year long. Oh, it's so intense. They work so hard and they have to go into high-rise apartment complexes, you know, and either run up 5 flights of stairs if it's a walk-up versus an elevator building. These people just work so hard. So that is also just so cruel and unusual. And it didn't end up being worth it for anyone because everyone was mad. And I'm sure tips were not generous in any way, shape, or form.
No, everybody's mad. I wonder what they're going to do to make up for it. They're like, here's another $15
they're like,
lunch promo.
They'll just crash their own site somehow again.
Anyways, anywho's, wowzers, that's a lot.
Stop it, stop it, stop it.
Stop it! This next article you found is silly.
It's very silly because we need some levity after that shit show of a Firefest Grubhub promo. Guys, are you ready? I mean, maybe they're going to do a promo to get your hands on some of these new Cheez-Its that are partnering with Pandora. Yep, that's right. You heard it. The music streaming station, because they have aged their Cheez-Its while immersing them in hip-hop music. I don't even know how to say this sentence. They've been aged, not like in a barrel, not like in an underground cave. They've been aged by being exposed to 6 months of hip-hop and rap.
Right. So it's like whatever, wherever they're aging their cheese, all they do is just like hit play before they leave.
Absolutely. And here's, you know, because like, so Cheez-Its claim is that they use 100% real cheese. Mm-hmm. So therefore, it can actually be influenced by time, by temperature, mm-hmm, by Wu-Tang Clan, perhaps. But basically a huge, you know, promo stunt. Pandora clearly trying to stay relevant. When's the last time, mm-hmm, you listened to Pandora? But it's been a minute. It's been a minute. I used to use them, but I don't do that anymore. But basically, it's going to be referred to as the first ever sonically aged cheese. cheese snap in this new partnership. Yep. Isn't that cute? Mm-hmm. It's like they've got the Cheez-It box has a big cheese wheel on it that has headphones on because it's been listening to LL Cool J for half a year.
Or like Tribe Called Quest, The Roots, Beastie Boys, Snoop Dogg. Interesting.
I know, whatever, but you're sitting here. Here's the thing. Okay, so there's like clearly like a Gen Z senior marketing director in there.
I don't know. This feels like Gen X-y to me. They'll be like, yeah, totally play the tune, you know?
I mean, their choice in music was at least where I'm like, yeah, play it, Snoop. I fucking love this. But they're like, our innovation team is always exploring new ways to bring more unique experiences to our fan. Have you ever had a Cheez-It? They're fucking delicious. They need no further introduction.
The innovation is the Cheez-It itself. So if you're just like, I don't understand. Are sales that down? Like,
yeah, what is going on? As far as I know, I can still house a box of Cheez-Its in two sittings. No questions asked. That's the innovation that they discovered when they made the cracker, is that you cannot eat less than 50 to 60 small.
Yeah, the tang and the salt is... But look, hey, I'm going to try them. I'm going to eat these. This particular kind. I'm like, put it on the list. I know they're terrible for you, but I'm just like, yeah, I'll try it. I mean, maybe I'll just put some cheese next to a speaker and play it Enya and see what happens, you know? I'll just take cheese into work and my clients will be like, does it smell like cheese in here? I'll be like, shut up. Shh, you're fine. Shh.
I'm aging.
I just have to play.
I'm trying
new
to mellow
age cheese,
new right? Age cheese. New age cheese. I'm trying
that's
to mellow
that's
out.
That's my idea, inspired by Cheez-Its. I'm gonna have new cheese. You only young cheese. You want to play new age music too? So it's new age cheese. You heard it here first. I'm not ripping off Cheez-Its at all. It's my own idea.
But you guys, act fast. It's the Cheez-Its Times Pandora drop begins May 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern. You can head over to CheezItHQ.com and they say act fast. It might sell out before your favorite song is even over.
Oh my God, are you getting paid for this and I just don't know about it?
I just, I love Cheez-Its.
All right, well, let's move into this, our server
submitted
a story. We got one.
Just one.
A story. Should I take it? Should I go for it?
Go for it.
Here we go. Brooke, Andrea, Brian, it's been a while. Hope y'all doing super well. I'm doing awesome. The last few weeks have been the best in a while. I love to hear it. But we aren't here to talk about that. I'm here to share yet another amazing story in my restaurant life. In your last episode, the guest asked if y'all talked about bathrooms, which y'all talked about in the episode, to where y'all talked about the subject. While listening, I brought up what happened last night, May 13th, last week at one of the bars I work at. So last night was the second time we hosted what's called Second Friday. It's ultimately a female femme gathering of the LGBTQIA plus community. All are invited, but it's more for those who identify as female or what have you. It's always a good time. No trouble. Everyone complies and just want to have a safe space to have a great time, network, drink, and dance. Wonderful. Because of the number of ladies here, it backed up the bathroom. And since it was a 99-to-1 ratio between the sexes, they took over both bathrooms. My poor barback was almost stuck. He had to use the restroom. And luckily, there was one upstairs that only the staff knows about. So he disappeared up there. Later in the night, when things were winding down and we got to close, we took a moment to relax and then divide the work. I took trash, sweeping and mopping. I started with the bathrooms, and I swear I saw hell. I expected the women's room to be the way it was, but when I walked into the men's room, I almost had to hype myself up for. In the men's room, there's one stall and a trough and two sinks, and that's all a growing boy usually needs. What I saw may have been straight out of a slaughterhouse.
Oh, God.
Somehow they ended up breaking the toilet, which I fixed. It was an easy. The tank needed a reset. There were full rolls of toilet paper and paper towels that were soaking up groundwater. Ugh. The trash can was somehow without a bag, and that was in the corner of the restroom near the sinks. And the trough was lined with toilet paper and had toilet paper in it. And someone had a reverse of fortune in the trough as well. So I didn't know this before. A reverse of fortune is what you call when someone barfs in a bar.
I'm loving this.
It's fucking incredible. I'll never stop saying it. And by the way, that was all on top of ice. On the trough.
So yes, people were pre-bussing mm-hmm. their own drinks by just dumping them into the sink.
They're like, all okay. This, like, I was like, oh, is reversal of fortune when you, like, a woman pees in the urinal? Because that would kind of also make sense, right?
I'm willing to assign.
Instead of doing it from the front, you have to turn around and squat into it.
I'm willing to assign multiple meanings, Andrea.
Yeah. The women's room was no better. The same thing as the men's room. Paper everywhere, glasses everywhere, liquids on the floor, and someone's small reversal of fortune.
Ladylike one.
Just a bleh, little bleh. Now, nothing normally scares me because I used to work as a handyman / custodian at a hair school and a middle school. I've seen some shit. But last night, it was truly confirmed that it's not just the ladies' room that's the worst. It's the ladies that make the bathrooms the worst. Nothing against anyone, but here's a tip. Keep it together in the restrooms, please. Anyways, I got it cleaned up and pretty for the next day. Here's hoping that it won't be as bad tonight. Always a pleasure. And next email will be a little more serious in tone. Oh, ooh. Godspeed. Good tips. And have your fucking ID with you. Oh, and that's from Jarrett.
He's
the fucking best.
We love Jarrett. He's our bouncer on the ground in Atlanta,
everything.
Georgia.
Everything.
He really has.
What a great story. Yeah, man. Ladies gotta, like, we need to have, maybe we should, like, etiquette class. I don't know. Like, there needs to be a word spread. You know, maybe we do actually do next. Need to make those TikTok videos. And the TikTok videos, the first round will be, like, proper etiquette at a restaurant for women. Like, what to do and what not to do.
I just don't have it in me.
I know. And there's nothing you can do about it. It's like, and then we'll probably get, like, yelled at for saying stuff like that. But it's like it's a domino effect. Someone, like, pees on the seat and then someone's like, ew, gross. I'm not touching that. I guess I'll pee on the seat too. And then it's crazy. There's too
much. I meant that, like, I have the capacity to make a TikTok about bathroom etiquette. Like, let's fucking get some people on our side. Let's get the fight of our times going, right? There's nothing else happening socially, right? Okay. Anyways, what I mean is, like, I do not have it in me to leave a crime scene for the next person. Deep shame. You know, like, if there's, like, I won't come out of a stall if I'm not sure what to do about something that maybe happened where I had an oopsie and I start to panic. I am like, how do I hide the evidence? Because the mechanisms for hiding the evidence aren't working. Like, if a toilet's not flushing, if something's overflowing, if you didn't realize you were out of toilet paper, like, and
or
so
you have to, like, push and hold, like, the handle for, like, an extra second. So, like, you don't have to just be like a quick and be like, oh, it's not flushing. I guess we'll just back it up with all the toilet paper and people will make the same mistake until it actually clogs.
And it's like, I understand that somewhere along the way, my mother basically taught me how to do everything, like using my foot or my elbows so as not to touch germs. Like, I mean, we were all taught to, like, if you can't flush the toilet with your foot, then leave it alone. And I don't believe that. That's why we go wash our hands, right? Right, everyone? We're washing our hands, correct? You can flush the toilet like a big girl, unless it's the kind that has the lever, because it's more of like a, you know, like a middle school toilet, like that sort of thing. I'll hit those.
The pool chains, you know, maybe we need the pool chains back.
Or the, like, the buttons on the wall.
Or you, like, push with your foot. Yeah. You can just, like, kick it. Yeah.
Yeah, there are so, I mean, but, like, it's just, where the behavior you see where you're like, did you grow up with a maid who flushed for you? What
I know. It really is like so much. And I also think it's hilarious that like, I don't know, just like the stereotype, having to be a woman who like would never, doesn't fart or poop or burp or like what women are like hide, you know, it's supposed to be proper. And then you go into a women's restroom and it's just fucking slayed and disgusting. If chaos. They only knew, you know.
It's like it's society telling us that we cannot do these things, that they're unfeminine. So what you get is a bathroom in a restaurant having years of repression unleashed. You know, it's like a repressed fart, mm-hmm. like the repressed fart of fucking womanhood just gets unleashed on a public bathroom.
Absolutely.
And it's like we're it's like the only safe place where society tells you you can let it all go hang out. And then we have people like Jarrett tattling on us. How dare you? No,
I think it's great. I think it's hilarious. You know, where else are those, 14 Red Bull vodkas supposed to go, you know?
I mean, I just like to leave the world. Like I say, I'd like to leave the world a better place than I found it. And
right. I get out. I'm like in and out. I'm like.
Here's advice. Okay. You don't have to be as psycho as me where I will do things like, you know, when women, when there are literally only 15 pieces of paper towel in the basket, but no one disposes of it properly, so it just starts mm-hmm. becoming Jenga. I will grab a few extra pieces and I will punch the whole goddamn thing down. I can't help it. It's who I am.
Yeah.
If you're not that way, don't worry. I think the least you can do, and here's a tip, is like just don't add to it.
No.
You don't have to be a good Samaritan and clean anything.
Right.
But
right.
how about don't dump your drink out so that there's like a burned ice trough where people then are like, oh, I guess I'll throw the garbage from my purse and then it turns into right. the dish pit.
Oh, is this
and
where then no one can wash their hands. Throwing our purse garbage? I didn't realize that this was happening. I'm in.
This looks like
I'm
a great place to have a reversal of fortune.
Also, like, I'm a big fan of, like, letting staff know that, like, supplies are low. That's, you know, like, I am a helpful, yeah. I'm a helpful person in that way. But, like, when there's no TP and then everybody decides to start using, like, hand towels to, like, wipe themselves Oof. With.
Yeah,
that's when also a situation.
It's when you break their plumbing. It's when you break their toilets and the, mm-hmm. and the game over for everybody, you know? Mm-hmm. And then we revert to, you know, did you bring your own Home Depot bucket? Because this mm-hmm. is the world we're possibly living in. Mm-hmm. I like to be prepared. I've got a Home Depot bucket
so much
with
so much
me at all times.
Well, you know, it's, great story. I mean, we're not supposed to be, we were talking about doing like another bathroom episode because the topic just keeps coming up over and over and over again. So you guys know what to do. If you have one of those stories, it's a service minute story you want to send our way. About anything at all, bathrooms or not. SayWorkPod@gmail.com.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Also bringing up, you know, since we're back and keep that in mind, the sideworkpod@gmail.com, we're trying something a little different today, which might spark response, opinion, or story from you. So feel mm-hmm. free mm-hmm. if you're inspired by mm-hmm. our new sort of topic.
Yeah, you guys,
we're doing today.
We're your muses today.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
like I've mentioned many times now, I've been a lurking. I've been a lurking on Reddit, okay? I belong to a couple different subs. Andrea, I'm on an H. pylori Reddit thread, which is disgusting, but it's actually a good support group for, you know, people going through a bacterial digestive problem. Hello, that's me. I had to shit in a collection hat and take it into Quest Diagnostics.
Is that what they call little sample cups? They call them collection hats? I thought that was like,
it's not, it's, but it's like, it looks like a hat, but obviously you flip it, you invert it and put it under the toilet seat and you shit so that you can catch your shit.
Like a little sitz bath?
It looks, yeah, I don't know what you just said, but I think I know what you're saying. Like it's got cardboard sides so that it goes on the side and then it's got a nice decent amount for any sized butt to really properly, you know. And it's gross, but we are living in a time of masks, goggles, and gloves. I have all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So I didn't fall over and die collecting my own stool sample.
It
kind of
sounds like a disposable. A sitz bath is like kind of what it sounds like. You just, it's a little bath that you put little Epsons in, and then you sit on it, and you soak your little, maybe you got a sore little butthole. You need to soak an Epsom salt or something.
Okay, you're expanding my world. You're blowing my mind and teaching me things, as I might be teaching you all something too. I always, I'm like, thank you for the fecal hat, you know. It's, I mean, it's horrifying. Anyways, and then I kept it too long, so I have to do it again. They weren't open on Sundays.
Oh, no.
And I took a dump on a Saturday, turned it in on a Monday, and my tests are inconclusive. So all I did was give someone...
Where'd you keep it? In the fridge? You put it in the fridge?
In the fridge, like triple bagged. I put like a do not eat sign on it for Sean. Like these are
that he wants. That's all he wants to do is like, I really want what's in there now even more. Oh my gosh.
But can I be honest too? So like, you know, I had Winnie went to the vet too and did her like comprehensive because, you know, and they called her a senior dog. I clutched my pearls. It was so hard to hear. But I guess the minute your dog's older than seven, they're a senior dog. But I hadn't heard anyone refer to my young woman that way before. But because I've been having some health problems, nothing, you know, life threatening, just annoying to, you know, I've felt better. Let's put it that way. But Winnie also had to turn in a stool sample. And I've got just so many new phone numbers popping up on my phone. And I could not gather who was calling or what. But then all of a sudden I was like, oh, my God, I have Giardia. And I started like they called me and were telling about Winnie's shit sample. And I thought they were calling back about mine and they're like, you're negative for worms. You're this, and that. And I was like, oh, phew. And then I was like, wait, I haven't given anyone my shit yet. And
Brooke, this is classic 80s movies hijinks that you're describing right now.
It was just so terrible. Or I'm like, God, I'm glad I like turned in my shit and not hers, where they're like, what have you been eating? You know,
they're like, wait, this is like, I mean, we should write this immediately.
It's like the Freaky Friday, but for stool samples.
For stool samples. Oh my God. So back to
So I've been on Reddit.
Yeah, this is basically that was like a little Reddit hole we went down just there. That's an example of it, you know?
You guys, it's so fun. It's so juicy over there. The Server Life Reddit subreddit, it's that thread is killer. They're doing the Lord's work. It is good stuff. And so what happens is I get updates on my phone pretty much every time someone posts something on any threads that I really enjoy, I get a little update. And there are so many good scenarios that have been posed on Reddit, which I feel like deserve a healthy round of unsolicited advice from Andrea and myself, plus some of the advice that was given off of Reddit users. And we're going to throw a few out there today. And if anything clicks with you, you know, brings out a story, you have an opinion on it, please feel free. Sideworkpod@gmail.com or drop us a message on Instagram. We'll talk about it. We're just always trying to get conversations going with you guys because you always have such incredible stuff to say. But until you do, you're just going to have to hear me and Andrea's opinions on it. So,
which is why you keep coming back, babe, always. But
you know. I know. I'm like, I'm starting to think you really like it or something. I know. It's an under backhanded compliment, something like that. Okay. So this one popped up like 48 hours ago, and boy, did it get people riled up with lots of opinions that sort of blew my mind, which all then filter into the crazier topic, which is like our broken tipping system in America. But here we go. All right. Here was the subject. I was told about no tip beforehand. So this was the user Y20XON Tongvalan. I can't even like get a real fucking name. Anyways, so I was told about no tip beforehand. Say someone told you first thing that they couldn't tip or they can only tip so much, so they didn't want you giving them much attention. Would you appreciate that and oblige them? Or how would you otherwise treat them during their stay? So this is a dilemma that a server clearly got into where they approached a table and right off the bat, they let them know, I won't be tipping you, so don't feel like you need to give me much attention.
Okay. I mean, look, I guess it's better than to know up front instead of like working the whole time, right, for it. And then just being like, surprised that you get stiffed, pre-stiffed in this, I suppose, would be the, I would just be like, okay, fine. What do you want? You know, should we go in? I mean, I feel like I'm going to say a lot of like the follow-ups that you have. This is everything
yes.
that's gone through.
Yes. And I think what's great is I tried to pick ones that sort of exemplified different sides of the argument, if that makes sense. So someone obviously responded, you know, these are some of the highest rated responses. Someone said, I personally wouldn't dream of going out to eat and expect someone to serve me if I wasn't able to tip.
Absolutely. We talk about that all the time. We talk about this show
for 3.5 fucking years at this point, you know? Mm-hmm. And it is an attitude that unfortunately is usually only occupied by service industry people. Plenty of normies get it. They are good customers. They've never worked in a restaurant and they understand that tipping is just a non-negotiable. But then there's just this whole other swath of society that is looking for any way to save money for themselves. And it's just this really unfortunate thing that blows back on the servers. So someone else then says, I've been asking people who don't tip to do this for years. At least have the balls to tell me you're not going to tip straight away. I'll still take your order. Make sure your food is right. I'll even give you a refill. Just have the courtesy to let me know you're not paying for my time so I can allocate my time appropriately for the tables that are. Mm-hmm. And someone replied to that one saying, exactly. If someone tells me they're not going to tip, I wouldn't treat their table like crap or completely ignore them, but I will know to give priority to my other tables.
Yeah, there's something about like, you know, just like this is your job is to like as a server is to make sure everybody's taken care of. And you and I would never, ever think about being like, sorry, I'm not even going to pay attention to you because that's like more trouble than it's worth. Oh, what a fickle, fickle thing. Like,
right. And,
also,
and it's like
I just don't, as a server too, like, look, I have tables that are amazing, but I also feel like everybody gets the same service, like, that is awesome, no matter what, you know? I mean, obviously, if people are ordering a shitload of stuff and want more drinks, you're going to, like, need to spend more time with them. But if you have a table that's like, we're not going to tip you, but we're going to, like, run you ragged, like,
yeah,
right?
What the fuck?
Because you how go do get, you know that that's not going to happen?
Right, like, you go get the manager immediately. Like, because we had some very kind people on this thread, too, who were like, listen, if it's a regular who's down on their luck, but they've usually been in, they're like, there are going to be circumstances where you can, as a server, clock it that, like, something is wrong, like, maybe they're stranded, maybe, like you know when, like, it's someone has to get out of the rain or just something really weird or someone who you're like, maybe this is their first hot meal in 2 years and they scrape money to sit at the corner of a bar and have a meal. Yeah. And it's not good. But like,
maybe you're like a man child who's like bike gets stolen and you're like on a cross country, like, you know, you have to go find your bike and then you go to a diner like in the desert and you order a tuna melt and you realize your wallet is gone. Like shit like that happens.
I mean, and Andrea, for reference, you know, Andrea likes to compare all of life's trials and tribulations to Pee Wee's Big Adventure. That's where she learned her moral center, and most of
it's actually
references.
Not a terrible place to learn your moral center. I'm just it's actually not bad at all.
But here's the thing, okay? Something tells me that this is a person who does this like in a serial fashion, where they're like, "I
get
figured
off
out
on it. This is the person I am." No one's taken away my guns. Sorry to like lean that side of things, but I just feel like it's just like a certain personality who has like such a declarative statement to make like that, you know,
like that.
And I'm not going to play by your rules.
I'm not going to play by your rules. But what's even more confounding and infuriating about this person is they think they found the workaround and that it's like what they're doing is cool by saying, so you don't have to pay much attention to me. And this is where it then comes in, where people are like, why are they presumably in a restaurant if they don't have the means? The attention is secondary to the valuable real estate they are occupying at no benefit to their server. You know, and they said, I guess I'd appreciate their honesty and explain to them that I won't be the server they'll be dining with, and also kindly get carry out. Because when people say like, you don't have to pay much attention to me because I don't like to tip, you don't get it. You are taking up real estate and you are taking away my ability to earn money from a table that could have your table, you piece of shit. That's what people don't understand, is they think that the service, like when you get people who start to try and backpedal it, and they were like, listen, I mean, wouldn't you be happy if I told you don't pay me much attention? Like, I didn't come here to have like a fucking personal relationship with you. And it's like, yeah, neither did I as a server. Me serving you is part of the game. I don't have to talk to you. I don't have to bug you. The point is, I am a tip-based earner. So this isn't about like you think you're, you know, relieving me of the duty of being fake friends. No, what I do and what I provide by bringing you your things, by tending to you alone with no conversation is what warrants me a fucking tip, you dumb fucktard.
And it's like, you know, it's the same, might be the same type of person, not to like throw everybody who has these point of views in the same like, you know, thought boat, but you know, if there was a world in which it was like this guy from Australia who wrote in, who is basically like, you know, in Australia, this isn't a problem because everybody gets paid a living wage. And, you know, so like if that were to happen here, which some places do, and we all know the places that do that, the prices are much higher on the menu. Because that's what you have to do to make up for it, to pay your employees a decent wage. So it's like, well, what's worse? Like an extra, like if your burger costs an extra $7 to $10, or you leave a tip, you know what I mean?
Right. And the mentality of, and what the US allows is someone being like having their cake and eating it too, by being like, not only did I get the food that's been undervalued and priced correctly by assuming that I will tip my server for their service, is they take the food and they stiff you,
right?
Which is of course the most American thing ever. And everyone would have a goddamn shit fit, you know, if prices went up, but then we were all paid a wage, but they're not understanding that then tipping is now eradicated and out of their hands.
Right.
You know, the same people who say, like, just pay them a living wage would be the first to cry about their $23 hamburger.
Yeah.
You can't have it both ways, fuck faces, folks. I was going to say folks, but then I said faces.
Like, it all makes sense. Like, you know, when we went to Iceland, why, like, cocktails cost, like, $25 there, you know? I mean,
well,
it's like they're an island.
It's an import
and, like, food
thing.
Yeah. And food is so expensive there too, but a lot of it is just like, it's the happiest place on earth because like everybody's paid a living wage, and like, it's just, yeah, there's a lot, there's more to it.
There's so much more to it. And, you know, so it is, it's like in this land of free speech, which, you know, we are grateful for in many, many circumstances, it just also allows for a whole culture of loopholes, cheaters, scammers, people who are justified and standing behind a fake amendment to fuck you over.
Promotions.
Right, exactly. Because they don't want to part with $5 extra.
I know. I know.
You know?
I know. I know. It is a lot. It's a lot. And it's so, just, it's just a lot. And there's also a wage gap too. A wealth gap is what I will say. So it's like, that's also a huge thing in this country too, is like how much bigger that's getting and like how much poorer the poor are getting and how much richer the rich are getting. And like, that's fucked up too, you know? So there's a lot. There's a lot
going on. But I suppose if we each walked away with one, like Andrea, what would be your crystallized, summarized advice if someone said this to you? How would you handle it?
I would just be like, wow. I would say, wow, that's an opinion. What can I get you? I don't know what I would think. I don't know. This is hard. I have to. It's almost weird. Like I have to think about it.
Well, mm-hmm. because as much as I have an opinion right now, right, when it happens to you in the moment, you're just like, what the fuck? You know, like,
it's like
you
being
don't
smacked in the
know,
face and you don't have exactly. time to process, especially I never have time to process until later. That's just who I am.
No,
I'm always the person that's like, oh, I fucking said this, you know, like
exactly
3 days later. But like, I think I would just be like, huh? Okay.
Right.
And I feel like there should be an agreement with like the house, like all the staff waits have to be like, so this person has said this. Can we, like, we all pull together to
and
like,
get them the fuck out of here?
Mm-hmm.
Because
like,
that's
everybody check on them once at a time. And then like we all kind of eat the shit on this. And the manager needs to step it up too.
I think right there, what you said is like immediately get a manager involved and be like, hey, this table pre-warned me that they will not be tipping me. Mm-hmm. So if you can have my back in terms mm-hmm. of like them having a half hour meal tops, mm-hmm. Let's rush their food. Let's expedite mm-hmm. everything. I'm dropping the check as soon as it comes and we want the table back.
Mm-hmm. And then everybody in the whole place is like perfectly aware of what's going on, which is also kind of like, wah, wah.
Depending what stage of broken I would be at a restaurant, there might also be the world in which I braveheart the restaurant, you know, and kind of be like, kindly may I have everyone's attention. This person just informed me they will not be tipping me this evening. Mm-hmm. Are we going to stand for that? You know, mm-hmm. but more than likely they would get weird, like I like a lot of really like aggressive eye rolling,
yeah,
and me going, okay,
yeah,
great.
I just be like, the fuck is wrong with you? That's kind of how I feel. Like, sure,
but if
I guess I'll play this game with you, but like, shame on you. Like, who do you think?
Shame on you. Be like, yeah, I would. There's no way I would mask my disdain, but I'd be like, sure. What are you having? Here's your check.
Yeah, bye.
Thanks for coming. It's called takeout. Mm-hmm. Someone mm-hmm. did say, like, in the situation, you could kind of flip it and do a kill him with kindness thing. Be like, oh, you know what? I think you are trying to do takeout. Let me help you get takeout. And then they have to dig their heels even further and be like, no, I intend to eat a meal and dine and enjoy all the rights of a person who will not tip you.
We have 4 children with us, and
but also
like the worst possible scenario. You know what I mean?
If you're out there listening, just know that the restaurant staff, as much as we have our infighting and our day-to-day troubles, when the customer abuses us and we let everyone know, we come together like a powerful front, and there will be bathroom water that finds its way onto your meal. If you've told me that you do not intend, you will join me in the H. pylori Reddit subgroup. I'll tell
Whoa.
You that much.
I don't never much. Have the cojones.
Oh,
that's
I would.
Me.
I would. There's toilet water coming your way, or the drop, the oopsie, drop the steak. You know.
I wouldn't. I'm not. I'm
do not like, just know.
I'm just like let the world, let the universe like do with it what you will, man.
But sometimes the universe accidentally splashes toilet water onto, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
I do. Sometimes the universe accidentally puts like a vial marked toilet water in your locker at work with this. It has a little spray nozzle on it. And sometimes like
and sometimes, you know, I like leave it out where it's in a quick canned reach of anyone in the kitchen, you know. Anyways, sometimes the universe is wild.
Jeez
that way.
Louise. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Go away.
All right. Let's move on to this next topic that you found, subject you found, which I think is really fun, which is the server high, a.k.a. crushing the rush. Just finished a dinner shift. We got absolutely slammed. I did not have a moment to think the entire time. I was intensely focused for 5 hours. Now I'm laying in bed in my underwear right now and I feel high. Tonight, I realized that serving gives you this tangible rush where my brain feels fried and I am like 110% present. I feel no shame or anxiety, and it seems like there is some high I get from it all. And at the end, they turned up the music in the kitchen and we all cleaned and danced and laughed together, and even the managers did not give a fuck. Yeah, this is very real. And we've talked about this for so long. It's like, when you're, you know, when you're in the shit together, right? When you fight a battle together every night and then it's over and the smoke clears, there's nothing to be but victorious, you know?
It really is. Like, especially if everything went smoothly and you, like we said, you crushed the rush. Everyone feels like, A, those moments when you're like, I am good at my job and this job does matter. And look at us, you know? And
yeah.
It's such a, all I know is like, I've talked about the wild weekend shifts or the unexpected slam dance that happens on a Tuesday when you're understaffed and you somehow fucking nail it and walk away with two waiters worth of, you know, tips that night because you handled it. But I would have to, you know, I lived a mile and away, mile and a half away home, and every night I walked home, and I would need to just have a quiet walk down,
just to burn it all off, the city street
to burn it off, and then usually go sip on a drink, mellow out, then probably have to watch a little something on TV. But it is truly like coming down from an upper.
Absolutely. One of the responses is that this was me tonight too, laughing my ass off, but honestly, it was worth it in the end. Shifts like these go by so fast and almost makes me wonder if I even hate it. It's true. I mean, there's all these different things flashing in front of my head too. Like you're saying, it's just like when it's just like clockwork, 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 like whatever. What can I get you? What can I do here? I'm picking up. Food's out on time. Fucking bar drinks are up. You're just like, ding, ding, ding. High-fiving your servers. Laughing with them in the back. Like, nights like that are great.
We call that, I mean, in the speaking of the universe again, it's called flow. You know? Get into the slipstream,
get in
baby.
Your zone, baby.
Get in your zone. Get in the flow. The creative flow is also a thing, too, like where you tap source energy. And you are one with the universe and everything is just happening effortlessly and it's a dance and you are executing the choreography perfectly and brilliantly and it makes everyone feel really good. So someone else wrote, man, I feel this as a bartender. You're in the weeds and the brain just shuts off. Instinct takes over. There's no better therapy, especially if you're going through it. Going through tough shit in life, he means.
Yeah, yeah.
You just move and work for hours and the brain autopilots. And then someone responded, I told a work friend that serving was like therapy for me. And she was like, oh my God, I feel so bad for you.
Oh no. I think it's good. I think it's like, look, if you guys have ever done improv, there's this thing they call group mind. Then I think that collectively when restaurants are going well in the flow and everybody's like working hard to get shit done, that's it. You're a hive. You're worker bees, man. You're all like, you know, working to at the same thing to get the queen. I don't know who the queen's going to be in this scenario. I don't know. All your customers just, I think the queen is like, you just make your, everybody collectively is like the queen because you just want to get through it at the end of the night. And that's who you're serving.
Think as well too, like, you know, this can happen despite the odds being stacked against you, if you have a usually terrible manager, owner, maybe some people, like it can sometimes click and everyone gets on the same page when you're normally dysfunctional, or there are smarter coworkers and franchise and restaurant owners who create an environment to foster flow where they might have pre-shift rituals to be like, I want my servers, I want everyone to do the thing that makes them happy, that makes them feel confident, so that they're bringing like love and energy into this very hard profession. Because we all know when you make a hard thing harder and more unsafe for people, it reflects in the experience more often than not.
For sure.
When people come to dine, you're like, what is up with this place? You know,
that one thing to work about, like at Buca di Beppo, was the thing that like there was always family meal. There was always like pre-shift.
Of course.
And 9 times out of 10, it was just like, you know, pasta, spaghetti. There was always a big salad. I would always make the salad. I would always, and if I was early enough and like, if everybody in the kitchen was busy, I would just pop back on the cold line and make a big salad for everybody. But like, we all got to like sit down and eat together and connect before the shift, which I think is a really awesome thing.
It's team building because you're not really supposed to do that once you're on the floor. It's like, or if you are doing that, you're probably ignoring your table by engaging in drama while there are actually customers in the restaurant. And that's exactly why shift meal is so important, is you get to be humans and friends. And then that's also why people love the, you know, the shift drink and the side work after it's all over, like commiserating
so
in the back booth.
There's so many stages to
it. It's really
great.
And
one part is very much the part where it's so busy that everybody is just like, there's no leaning around. It's just like, oh, we're bumping. We're bumping now. That's fun. And I agree. There is a high.
And this also kind of blew my mind too. Someone responded as well. This feeling is why I only work high volume restaurants. If the place ain't jumping from open to close, it's too slow for me because my ADHD brain needs this high. It might actually organize someone's disorganized thinking or something, where this is where they shine and this is where their brain is best used. And that's like, to me, that's been a powerful thing as well, where sometimes I moan and groan about like, oh God, like I'm scared to get back into a service job. But there is such a feeling of like, I went and I moved my body, I used my brain, and it like really like alleviates a lot of depression and anxiety for me. Cause it's like, you go jump into something, you don't have time to sit around and like wallow about your own stupid shit, if that makes sense.
Look, dude, I've worked in the service industry my whole life, and I do now, and people are like, you know, it's a different way, but it's still very much service oriented and multi-layered and multitasking driven, where, you know, and people and I also get to like, not whatever, but I get to like, I get to like push blackheads out of people's faces, you know, and people ask, I have clients all the time that are like, is this part like gross you out? I could never do this. Or like, is this your favorite part? And I do say to people out loud, like, I feel like I don't have to do talk therapy because I like push debris like out of people's faces, and it's like sometimes like it doesn't want to come out and sometimes it does, and like I don't know, there's just something very therapeutic about like seeing it surface and come out. And then I don't know, it's crazy, but like it is a high truly, that just like service in general, because I'm also very busy at work, and like I can't handle like not being busy. Like I could not handle, and I've always said this, just like sitting at a desk and like staring at one thing and only moving like my fingers, like I would go bonkers.
You would lose it. Cause like when I transferred out of the service industry and personally like started working on productions, producing is my service industry in that field, because
she's like, don't stop.
You don't stop. And you're like, whoa, I have been so trained for this field without even knowing that I can handle this and crush this like a motherfucker. All thanks to the service industry.
Any kind of job where I'm like, whoa, I need to drink water. Like, that's how I feel. It's like, you're like slightly dehydrated and like blinky. Like, you know, you're a little, there's a little too much coffee in your system. Like, that's my flow. That's where I go.
Let's go.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
You do it. This next
one. Okay, got it. All right. And if that brings up anything, y'all, I mean, you know, sideworkpod@gmail.com. Tell us if you crush the rush and get that server high. Okay, so this final thing from Reddit, and of course, give us some feedback if you like us kind of giving the unsolicited advice off Reddit threads. We're giving it a try. So here's the subject. Y'all, I just got scheduled for 3 doubles in a row Friday through Sunday. The title of this post pretty much says it all. I'm confident I can do it, and I'm happy to have the opportunity to make a lot of money, but I feel like purposely getting scheduled that way is wrong. The weekends can be rough in restaurants, and I think everyone deserves to have at least part of the weekend to themselves. Everyone weigh in.
Is this legal?
That was my first question, is I'm like, your first course of action is to ask if this is even fucking legal.
Yeah. I mean, there's one thing, and like, I feel like I'm just going to go off and everybody is going to say this. Like, as someone who would work doubles again and again, it was my choice to do so.
Yes, you don't get scheduled to do so.
Mm-hmm, yep. I would say I definitely will work all this day on this day, and then I'll pick up. It was always if I was like about to go out of town or like needed a bunch of money or like, and this is the beauty of like the service industry, is to be like,
you front load.
I'll live at this fucking restaurant for 3 days, you know, for sure. But I just, I'm for tickets scheduled for three doubles in a row, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. What the actual fuck have you, what does your manager have it out for you for?
Yeah.
I don't understand why that would just happen.
Right. But the flip side of that is a smart manager knows not to do that to a server, uh-huh. especially if, you know, like they might think this person's a rock star. They might not have realized that they scheduled in this way. But I don't know, yeah. but I know for a fact that like when I would jump in and be like, yeah, I want to do a double and this and that, the owner of my restaurant was sort of like, I'm not signing off on that because I know how you get BVP because they were being protective of burnout, you know, yeah, because no. it's so crazy.
Totally. And I feel like if you are this person, you're going to be first cut. You have to be first cut. Like you can't just right. open and close. Like
right.
So, although my fucking ass would be like, I'll do it. I'll fucking close. I'll make all the money.
You think you can? And then by
I
the
did.
Time,
like you know, because I'm insane. Ugh. But like I.
But by the time you're there for your third double on a Sunday, I mean,
oh fucking murder me. Either, then I'm jelly. You know.
You are, and you break your body, and it's like, well, I hope you plan on like. Not doing anything on this vacation because you're not going to be able to move. Mm-hmm. But this is so funny. Some of the responses to this in terms of, you know, I just got booked for three doubles in a row. Someone replied, been there. Third day, I want to kill myself in front of a needy table to alter the trajectory of their life. And someone replied, whoa, I thought I was the only one who wanted to kill myself specifically to ruin other people's day. But really, I do daydream about it. Quote unquote, you forgot my ranch. You're terrible at your job and should be fired. And then I respond, you know what? I'm sorry about that, but I have a better idea. Drinks a gallon of bleach in front of them. There, I won't be here next time you come back.
Oh my Whew. God. That's where your brain goes. I yeah. mean, it does become torturous after like so many in a row. You do turn into a bit of a zombie. The high definitely goes away that we talked about.
I was mm-hmm. going to say, like, unless you are doing your yoga, doing your meditation, somehow, you know, but right. It's like that high is, it's very rare that you're going to get 72 straight hours.
Yeah. You start to go loopy. I think it's like you come in for like your Saturday dinner shift or even a Sunday dinner shift. And you're like, oh my God, did you see Andrea like over in the corner? Weird. Like she's been here for like 3 days straight. And I'm just basically like, hello, did you? Like I'm like wearing foil on my head and like bopping around.
Yeah, it's like when you throw people in, solitary confinement, you know, they're like, she's been in here for 3 days. She mm-hmm. hasn't seen the
it
light.
It is solitary confinement in a way. Yeah, it's way too much. Just set up a cot for me in the back while you're at it.
Truly.
Oh, Lord.
But sort of what you said, Andrea, is another response that we got on this thread. Someone said, it's one thing if you picked up those shifts out of choice, but for a manager on duty to assume that you are fine with basically living at the restaurant for 3 days straight without asking yeah. first is not okay. As Mm-mm. service industry workers, we're in a rare position right now of having the luxury of the upper hand. Restaurants are hurting for staff and will basically hire anyone regardless of experience. Believe me, I know. I've worked with some real newbies lately because my restaurant is so desperate. So if you feel overworked and underappreciated, find a new job that respects you with some advice. And then I think that, so this response is coming from management, which is also nice to hear too. So regarding the three doubles in a row, it sucks. We're short on staff right now too. So it's been a slog. Everyone who works at the restaurant is on doubles on Friday through Sunday. This what? Is apparently the new norm at some restaurants, myself included as the manager, and I'm the fill-in for the expo, bar back, the host, et cetera, even though I'm management. Still, I try to make it work for my staff. With our business hours and flow, at least I can stagger in times so everyone gets one day where they are in at 1 p.m. and one day that they are first out on that Friday-Sunday grind. Plus, everyone gets a four-day week or at minimum one day that's a short shift that ends early so they can go home and sleep or have some drinks. We all talk about hiring another server ASAP, but then payday comes and the veterans tell me not to do it. LOL. Huh. So what can I say? Invest in good, comfortable shoes and insoles. It makes a world of difference on a long double shift. I did 3 13 hours back to back this week, and it wasn't till my third glass of bubbles at the end of my night that I noticed my feet were complaining.
Yeah. And again, like there's something to be said about it. I don't know. It's just, that's crazy to hear about though, that it's just,
well, I'm also wondering, too, though, if business, you know, because you still have a lot of restaurants that are not doing Monday through Wednesday service. Mm-hmm. So you might just no option where you're like, Thursday through Sunday's it, baby. And these are the only shifts we have. And so you're living here. And I'm hoping that it will even out again for some people. I mean, and you also always have that coworker who's like, I don't believe in weekends. I don't care about them. I want the money. And my life happens Monday through Thursday, you know?
Oh, dude.
You're always going to have those people.
Me having like Wednesdays and Thursdays off is like my favorite thing ever. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, yeah, I'm just going to, everybody else have fun. I'll be over here. Like, yeah. So,
good topics on Reddit today.
Yeah. So much to chat about.
Gets my brain going. Gets my brain going. Oh, man. I'm just going to go carb load on some Pandora Cheez-Its right now.
I don't know. Yeah. Are they even out yet? Did they?
May 26th. May 26th.
Oh, God. Mark your calories. Mark your callies. I hope they don't. Yeah. But you guys, again, we hope this inspired stuff. And this is just, you know, like to get that conversation flowing. Other than that, that was a fun little chat, Brooke. You know what we say at the end of every episode.
Indeed. Godspeed.
Good tap.
Good flow. Get in that flow. Have some good doubles, everyone. Thank you.